everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board. The NFL fines Nick Bosa, but ignore BLM protests. We'll talk favoritism and racism in today's NFL as America rejected BLM and everything that comes with it with the Trump presidential landslide last week. First, we'll talk a former head coach who pulled the race card after being fired. Who wants another gig? There's also a San Jose State University volleyball update, another forfeit. And finally, NFL stars rob while they're playing a game? But before we get going, please do not forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Points on the Board podcast. First, let's welcome my co-host, Mr. Bill Ross, he who is too good looking for this show. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm still happy about Trump. I'll be honest. I was nervous about that election being stolen. I come from a third world country. I've seen it done on a continual basis in Panama. And everything that happened in 2020, all the red flag factors were there. So I was concerned. And just a little tidbit for the audience, I refused to go to bed. I was getting ready to go to bed. Then I turned it on. I was like, let me check out what MSNBC and CNN are whining about. So I'm watching it, and I have my X open also on my phone. And then somebody says they're watching one of those shows. I was watching three. What I was doing is when one would go to commercial break, I would turn on the other station, So I was watching literally all three. And then the person on X was talking about they haven't caught it for one station. I'm like, hold on, I'm watching that too. And I realized they were still live. They weren't calling it for Trump. And then around 3:30 a.m. or 2:30 a.m. our time, CNN goes, and we've got the memory stick with voter ballots coming in. And it's coming in from what's the biggest city in Wisconsin? Milwaukee. Mm. And those are mostly Democrat votes. Kamala's 100,000 and 110,000 down. There's about 100,000. Let's see. And I'm like, oh, my God, they are going to steal it. But they came back an hour later, said, not enough votes. I think the Republicans were well prepared here for this one. And Nick Bosa got his wish. Make America great again. So what about you, brother? You still enjoying the fumes that are left over from the Dodgers win? Or who is your favorite baseball team?
I'm breathing in all the Trump fumes I can, that's for sure. And I'm also enjoying all the appointments that he's made. So it's very exciting. One way to stop people from cheating is to absolutely demolish them so there's nothing they can do to actually win, which is what he did.
That is true. All right. Well, let's get right into it then, my friend. Brian Flores wants to be a head coach again. In a recent interview, the former Miami Dolphins head coach, Brian Flores expressed his desire to return to a top coaching position in the NFL, despite his ongoing discrimination lawsuit against the league, which in my opinion, I can't speak for Bill, but in my opinion, I believe that was the race car being played because he got fired. That was the trend back then. The problem was Mike McDaniel came in and built an immediate winner. Tua has become a star, and everything Flores did was really kind of exposed, including players saying how much he sucked. So, Mike McDaniel has transformed the Dolphins, I wouldn't say into a powerhouse, but into a top-tier offense with quarterback Tua Tagovailoa thriving under his leadership. Again, a stark contrast to Flores. So let's get into the details of Flores' current situation and his aspirations for another shot at being an NFL head coach. Bill, Flores is a hell of a defensive coordinator. Got to give him that. Whether I like a person or not, you got to give him his due. And there's only 32 jobs. He says he would welcome another head coaching opportunity. The Vikings defense ranks number one in the NFL based on DVOA. It's allowing the third fewest points and eighth fewest yards per game. And it's forced the most turnovers through 10 weeks under Flores' leadership. Now, before I ask you my question, last year was up and down. He lost as many games as that defense helped win because of bad coaching plays on the defensive side of it all. So what do you think of, first of all, of him wanting to be a head coach? And second, do you think he has his defense alone can propel him into a potential shot?
Well, I mean, that's up to whatever owner wants to look at him, right? I mean, defensively, they're having a great season, Minnesota is. But that doesn't translate to a head coaching job. Shit, I'd like to be Santa Claus, too. I mean, you know, it's funny how he seems to be lobbying halfway through the season for, you know, looking for a head coaching gig. Who the hell is going to look at him while he's got a lawsuit on the back table for a head coaching job? It's idiotic. Now, if he had said, I'm going to remove my lawsuit and drop it, right, like they are with all the charges against Trump, right? We're gonna drop those charges. You know, okay, fine, drop the lawsuit, stop the process, put yourself in, you know, the hat for another head coaching job. That's fine. But he's also said certain things like, well, he hasn't been approached, was not approached in 2023 or something like that. I think that was the year. So it doesn't make sense to me. It smells bad. Like he's using his positioning with the defensive situation, how well they're playing this year, where his possible lawsuit is along the way. I don't know the timing of all that, but he seems to be parlaying all that together to try to get himself in, which is, again, playing the race card, because he knows if he makes enough noise that he wants to get a chance to coach, someone's going to throw a line out to him just because of that.
Maybe the Browns will. Maybe the Browns will.
Well,
I don't think any owner's going to touch him. I think privately they're going to go tell Goodell, who's going to approach these teams, hey, somebody should give him a shot. And every owner's going to tell him, get the bleep out of here. The guy's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Yeah. He's a race card player. Now, he addressed criticism. And we had a previous show on this. Remember the previous show? We played the video. He addressed criticism that former Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and Ryan Fitzpatrick stated, in essence, you sucked as a head coach. He never apologized for it. He never showed remorse. He made excuses for it.
Yes.
That alone, as an owner, I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Not only do you not have any regrets about it, you're still defiant about it, and you still got what did they call those lawsuits that they asked to be thrown out? Because you still got a frivolous lawsuit. You know, that team sucked because you suck as a head coach. He doesn't deserve a job. He still needs a few more years of rehabilitation, which includes him acknowledging publicly that he was a turd and he needs to have learned of that, which he's done none of that. Am I on my face here, Bill? Or am I looking at it as an owner should? Or will.
No, I don't think you're off base at all, but let's also not forget he's suing more than one team, because he's suing a few, and I don't know the teams by name, but he's suing other teams for their interviewing process.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he should just go in the NFL headquarters and, you know, get an assistant's job with Goodell. That would fit right up. That'd be right up his alley. But yeah, I know it doesn't seem to. Something's off about it. He's just marketing himself. That's all it is. You know, watch. Minnesota's defense now will be the worst defense in the league for the last 8 games because he came out and he's starting to talk about being a head coach. And people are now looking at all the Minnesota stats on defense and what a great job he's done. But we know there are offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators that have been fantastic at that position that just need to stay at that position because they are not head coaches. And I think he's one of them, especially when you start making excuses for things that have happened in the past in the situation that you're in. So stay where you are. Be happy as a defensive coordinator. I think your kids like Minnesota from what I read. I don't know. Just stay there.
I agree. Now, here's the other issue I have. Is and it's not in my notes, so I apologize, but the Belichick coaching tree. You know, I think there's only been one successful coach. Nick Saban sucked. Bill O'Brien has had mixed results to the point he sucked. Bill O'Brien sucked after he determined he was GM material. Kind of like Belichick, you know, you destroyed your team as a GM and it cost you your head coaching job. Brian Flores has obviously sucked, you know. In fact, let's look at some of these records. Nick Saban, oh my gosh, what, 15 and 17 in the NFL before he went scurrying like a little rat back to Alabama. Bill O'Brien, 52 and 48, slightly over 500. Brian Flores, 24 and 25. Al Groh, remember him?
Yeah.
97. Brian Daboll, whoa, man, that guy's just a wreck right now at 15 and 18.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a losing record. Eric Mangini, 33-47. Romeo the Bum Crennel. You know, that guy was in my era, and he was dumb as a rock. Yeah. 32-63. Josh McDaniel, 20-33. Mike Patricka, or Patricia, 13-29-1. Joe Judge, 10-23. I mean, these guys suck. There's only been one guy from his coaching tree that's done decently, and that's Mike Vrabel. And he got fired because he refused to look into the future and to see, hey, I got to change here because my teams are sucking now. You know, so just the coaching tree alone, he needs to stick as a defensive coordinator. He needs to let the season play out because here's the problem. When you face a veteran and you have a defensive schemes like his that are blitz happy, this is what cost him last year. Playing against veteran quarterbacks who were able to pick up the blitz. They ate him up. I mean, they embarrassed him. They made him look bad. He cost them games last year because of that. So he needs to show his full capability as a quarterback because it's easy to look great against a rookie or even the second-year players like Stroud. You know, Stroud did not – in his defense, he showed the NFL, this is how you beat Stroud. You know? But that said, I want to see a full season. And I don't like Flores. He doesn't deserve a job. That's my take today, people. I'm willing to change. He's got to show some change. He's defiant about what happened in Miami. And maybe it's his lawyers, Bill, telling them you can't sit there and say you screwed up or you did this or you did that because they'll use that against you in court. If that's a problem, then you need to drop the lawsuit if you want to be a head coach because just that alone tells me it's an owner, get the fuck out of here. And I say the F-bomb there because that's how I would look at it as an owner. Bill, your final thoughts on this topic?
Well, I agree, of course, with that. But I also think that you don't start talking about another coaching job in the middle of a season. Like, that's taboo, in my opinion. The fact that that even came out, that he's even in that headspace. He's got a lot of work left to do. 8 weeks left, right? There's a lot of work left. And then you have playoffs and whatnot. So to be even thinking about that and mumbling that is concerning to me as well.
No, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And the fact he's talking coaching gig means he's looking past his current job.
Right.
And that's not good. So look, his journey has gone from the Patriots to who knows where else before he wound up in Miami, then from Miami to Pittsburgh for a year. Tomlin tossed him a bone to Minnesota. So the fact that he is a solid enough defensive coordinator has allowed him to stick around in the league. So while his success with the Vikings defense demonstrates a defensive coordinator's coaching prowess, the lingering effects of his racist lawsuit, the quick turnaround in Miami by Mike McDaniels raises the questions about his capability of being a leader of men. And that's not just coaching. That's just how he's perceived as a man in life. So that's our take on Brian Flores. What's yours? Let us know. Let's move on to another pressing issue in the NFL. Nick Bosa, fined for Make America Great Again hat. Well, the NFL ignored multiple BLM protests. So let's break down the NFL's evolving stance on player expression, which to me has taken a step back. You know, specifically with social justice. If it's social justice and you play the race card, hey, we're all good with that. We're going to give millions and millions to these organizations that are grifters. You know, the BLM movement ended up being a grift job with many of the queer. That's what they were self-described as queer. They wanted to change the whole makeup. It had nothing to do with black. It had to do with lesbians and queer who were black. They bought multi-million-dollar mansions. One of them got arrested and is being sent to jail for something like $10 million in a grift job or something like that. So with all of that as the backdrop, I look at Nick Bosa's fine for wearing the Make America Great Again hat against the league support for Black Lives Matter as hypocritical. So let's explore that for a bit. So, Bill, Nick Bosa was fined $11,255 for wearing the Make America Great Again hat during a post-game interview. Now, he can afford this. He signed a $170 million contract extension in September of 2023. What's your take on the fine?
Well, I mean, it's rather ridiculous. I mean, $11,000 fine. I think we said last week there'd be a slap on the wrist, but it's typical NFL nonsense. The shoe's a different fit. It fits differently on his foot as it does somebody else's. It's the same thing they always do. Just like Bounty Gate, it's pick one place, change the rules for a team, penalize this player because it's right before the election, but they let all the other bullshit. I'd like them to take the shit off the back of their helmets too, by the way. It's football. I don't even need peace and love and all this stuff on the back of their helmets, which comes from that whole movement, by the way. And it's complete garbage because they don't care or mean any of it. Players don't. They probably don't even want it on their helmet, but they just leave. They don't say anything because they have no choice, right? It's complete garbage. And I actually don't think the fact that he was just wearing a MAGA hat and he pointed to it is really him saying anything in particular other than you know who he likes. And then, he's not voicing it. It's just with a hat. And then the other thing is, too, is they didn't fine him till after the election. Grow some balls. And if you're going to fine him before the election, not after.
To defend the NFL, the backlash would have been incredible. You would have seen boycotts of games and things like that. Because here's the sad thing. Their number one demographic is the Make America Great Again demographic. That's what nobody talks about. That's their paying demographic.
And that's why they didn't put it out before the election. Because they don't want those people mad as well. It's a complete farce. This is just right up the NFL's playbook. It's just really upsetting, but they do it all the time.
And for those of you who may have forgotten, it was during a post-game interview. They were interviewing Kittle and the quarterback, Brock Purdy, and he ran in the middle of them and pointed to his hat and ran off. So, and despite the fine, Bosa said that it was, quote, well worth it, unquote. So he was aware of the penalty. I mean, he could afford it, but to me it's a hypocrisy. It's an hypocrisy. BLM has been exposed for what they are, just another grift job. Billions in property damage. 25 people were killed during those riots over that 1 or 2 year period. And nobody wants to talk about that. And it's not that Bill and I are racist. We're into equality. True equality means you applaud and you punish equally. And they let this go. That should have been the only decision. But when you allow one, you don't allow another. That's hypocrisy. That's bigotry. That's creating hatred. That's creating a racial divide. And for us to go forward as a country, both sides, yo soy Latino, baby. My grandmother was called the N-word. I've got my brown-looking cousins. I'm one of the few in my family with a pale skin and blue eyes, I used to get pawed and grabbed on by my aunts. Hey, oh, you're China. They don't end up through Chiquita. Hey, Ma. Hey, Clemencia, is that your kid? Why has he got blue eyes? Why is he so white? Are you sure he's yours? Obviously, they were joking around, but I know what true love is. I know what true acceptance is. And the NFL did nothing but help create racial divide. Now, Bosa declined to elaborate on his decision to wear the hat, but he acknowledged enjoying watching the election coverage. Bosa's not dumb. He knows this country was going into the toilet. So he smartly picked it. When he said, Trump shifted all the margins, where it was 4 or 6 years ago, he managed to increase it by 10 points in many cases. So the Republican Party has an opportunity here to regain their true values in speaking for every American instead of letting the Democrat Party and the Democrat plantation, as I call them, continually lie to us Latinos. They hate us, Bill. They call us Latinos racist because we chose not to, because we're not that we chose. We are not monolithic. And that pisses them off because that means we're not going to vote off of skin color. We're not going to vote off of culture. We look at the economy. As James Carville said, it's the economy, stupid. Final words on this before we move on.
No, I totally, I agree with you most of the time. Not all the time. But I'll say one thing about the Democrats. If you don't agree with them, you're wrong. Doesn't matter what. Have you seen the, you know, where the donkey's talking to a kid on the couch and the kid's talking about Kevin Bacon being the star in Footloose and the donkey keeps on saying, no, 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 and explodes on the couch. Everybody knows Kevin Bacon's a Footloose star, right?
Right, right. What Bill is implying is there's been interviews where people are saying, I voted because of the economy. And they're like, there's nothing wrong. They're in denial. There's nothing wrong with the economy. You voted because you're a racist. That's what they're saying. And they don't understand. That's why you lost the election. It was a landslide. We all saw Kamala for what she is, a fraud, you know, and you still don't get it. So I'm like, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up, baby. We'll take another 4 years. All right. So the NFL stance of player expression has supposedly evolved, but it's only really evolved one way. And this will create a backlash. You're going to lose season ticket holders. You're going to lose some of your viewership. It may not be noticeable, but like baseball for me in 1991 when they went on strike, I never came back, and I will never come back. I'll casually watch it. I keep tabs of it because of the gig, the job I have, but I'll never go back to it. The NFL risks that same thing. You may be America's sport today, but Americans are finicky too. So, obviously, Bosa's fine has sparked this debate as we're talking about it. And it's clear that the NFL's approach to political and social expressions remains a contentious issue, and for good reason. They're a hypocrisy. So now, some people may sit there and say it reflects broader on societal discussions on free speech, racial equality, and the role of sports in social commentary. No. This is one of those basics. You're a hypocrite, NFL. You know it. I know it. We all know it. All right, Bill. Let's turn over to San Jose State University volleyball update. Another forfeit. We just spoke about this last week. We spoke about it, what, a month ago, Bill. It's like whether it's Caitlin Clark or San Jose State, what's that saying that was in The Godfather, where it's like they just bring you back into it. You know, you try to leave it, and they draw you back here. I forget what that term is, but. Now, I was going to, in my notes, I put in a developing story. It's not a developing story. San Jose State University women's volleyball team is facing a seventh match forfeit of the season. And this is because of Blair Fleming, a transgender, a man who transitioned to a woman but still has the muscular makeup, the power, the strength, the pow into her kill shot. And they don't want to deal with that. So, this is still an intense debate about transgender participation in women's sports, drawing attention from high-profile figures, and even President Donald Trump, who says he will put an end to this. Bill, your initial thoughts on this situation we just continually revisit.
Well, they have a big problem coming up with the Mountain West Volleyball Conference Tournament. What in the hell are they going to do? Where, you know, what is it, seven forfeits right now? I don't think they're all in the conference, but most of them are. So, because the head coach has failed, the school has failed, the athletic department's failed, and the conference has failed up to this point. Now you have it all brewing to the very top when the whole nation, you know, especially volleyball lovers, but, you know, people will focus on this more during the Mountain West Conference tournament when there's a problem. So right. I imagine nobody's going to forfeit against them in the tournament because then they're out. So how is this going to all play out? I'm really interested to see how they're going to position themselves before this because they certainly can't wait until the start of the tournament. I know they've also said before, as we had stated earlier, that Biden and Harris had created a bogus loophole to put all kinds of groups into the Title IX on campus for school, but it hadn't overlaid into the sporting arena, into the athletic teams yet on campus. But San Jose State and the conference and the athletic department, all of them seem to think that that rule change on campus for students overlays and also includes athletes on teams on the campus. That's a legal battle that's coming. Unless Trump will just wipe it out and cancel federal funding for, you know, coaches and athletic departments and schools that promote this. But it's a big problem coming down the, you know, pike here in that tournament.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In fact, that tournament, I believe, is at the end of this month. So Trump won't have any effect in with it. However, I would not be shocked to see those teams that have forfeited all come together and go, we're not playing in this tournament. And it'll be a flawed tournament. I could see something like that happening. This is a stand that will go down in history. So you're making history versus just having your name in a statistics, Mountain West statistics book for 1 year. So I think we have not heard or seen the last of this. For the audience out there, it's the University of Miami announces forfeiting the second match against them. It's the first forfeit against San Jose State since Donald Trump's presidential election. He's taking notice. You know, other programs against San Jose State that have forfeited: Southern Utah, Utah State, Nevada, and Boise State. And Brooks Slusser, one of the team captains for San Jose State, is suing. The assistant coach, Melissa Bailey Smooth, was suspended after filing a Title IX complaint alleging favoritism. That's going to come back to haunt him because President Trump will roll back all this crap that Biden, Kamala did. And I think they have a game plan in place to deal with the courts this go around to stop them from achieving some of their goals. So you're going to see some serious issues culminating here in the next couple months. But I think at the end of the day, God bless the San Jose State University girls. They are doing what's right. We do not need men playing women. And they played San Diego State last week. I don't know if you saw the bill, but they had some film on it. One of the security guards came up to one of the members in the audience. Usually you get about 50, 60 people to attend these games. I guess they had like 300 this go around. And obviously they were all there to boo San Jose State University and Brooke Fleming. And God bless them, that's their right. As long as they don't get derogatory. So the guard was saying, well, you can't be negative, really? Then who the hell is going to watch these games? Go to any football stadium, any basketball court, anywhere. They're trying, and then they lie. They lie, like Brigham Young said that, either it was Brigham Young or another university at a girls, Duke, I think. Brigham Young or Duke. One of those, they claimed that the N-word was used. Turned out it wasn't. So the left will just completely lie, you know, to try to get their way. In this case, it kind of failed. The guy was like, I know my First Amendment rights. You can't do this. Move along. Then there was this other jerkwad. Don't talk to my guy like that, man. My security guard or whatever the guy's name was. He was all pissed off. They're on the field. They're always these fat, overweight, white pigs. You know, these guys are like, bro, shut up, sit down, and drink another six-pack.
Right.
Go away. You know that?
Right.
It's like, bro, you ain't never been in a fight in your life. Calm down, Francis, and sit down. Any final words before we move on from
this? Well, he ain't going to stop anything from happening, that's for sure. So, you know, he's just sitting there doing whatever he's doing, but he ain't going to stop any problems. But I will say this. I think Wyoming's actually forfeiting a second game to San Jose, too. But I think what should happen, in my opinion, is those teams should do what you just said, come together, forfeit, not play, because that's how you create change, too. You make a sacrifice. And then I think the NCAA should give them another year eligibility for this bullshit season they've had to go through because of San Jose State. Because a lot of – they're forfeiting and then they're losing their – you know, you don't get those games back, right? So, you know, if we did a year of eligibility for COVID, you know, unanimously across the board, maybe this is a situation where we can give them – another year of eligibility so they can make it up and continue to play a game they love without the nonsense.
No, I get it. And Trump is going to make a difference. In fact, in his response to that volleyball player, remember the one we showed some episodes ago where she got hit and she's had damage? You know, he just sat there and said, I never saw a ball hit so hard. And then he said he will, quote, absolutely stop, unquote, schools from allowing – transgender athletes to play out sports. You can't have it, quote unquote. So when pressed by the interviewee, Harris Faulkner, on how he would prevent it, just ban it. The president bans it.
Yeah.
You just don't let it happen. Not a big deal. So we know where Trump stands with this, and that has all the leftist swine pissing their pants right now. They're the pants. These are the JJs. these pajama boys. I have no love for seeing men dominate female sports. And the feminists, feminazis is what I call these feminists. A feminist believes in a woman having a choice. Do whatever she wants. She wants to be a mother. That's her choice. Feminazis are like, you're either going to sit there and side alongside us and have a career and say, fuck mamahood, or you're not a feminist. That's today's feminist.
Yep.
So they are quaking in their boots. So the San Jose State volleyball controversy continues to escalate with 7 forfeited matches, growing political attention, including Donald Trump saying, your day is coming, people. As the Mountain West tournament approaches, this situation does raise critical questions, as Bill brought up. But I will also add, it raises a question about the future of women's sports and transgender, aka men playing female in female sports. So let's move on from this contentious issue. Let's have a little, it's not fun for the individuals involved, but to me, I'm sorry, I just chuckled at the story because it's kind of like Bill at one of these movies. You know what bugs me about movies? Is when they try to make it like a comedy or a drama and they show it from the crook's perspective and you're supposed to like the crooks robbing from the man. So I guess in this instance, maybe that's how you can look at it if you want. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce's mansions. In a shocking turn of events, Kansas City Chiefs superstar Patrick Mahomes and tight end Travis Kelce found themselves at the center of a bizarre crime spree last month. Now, why did I quickly say Travis Kelce is not a superstar? Well, not outside of football. You know more about his girlfriend. What's her name? That girl?
I think her initials are TS. I'm not sure.
Taylor Swift, who is famously quoted as saying, fuck the patriarch, only to go down in flames to see Trump get elected.
Yeah.
I won't say the word I was going to say. That dumb woman wouldn't know suffrage from a hole in the wall with people struggling to pay their bills as she's a billionaire. And God bless her. She's able to get young girls to buy her records, but she can't get women to go vote for her candidate. How much bull she actually had. Anyway, as the NFL has to deal with Taylor Swift, we just had to deal with their...
Yeah, so the girls that like her, I mean, her age group doesn't even vote. I mean, they get older, right? They get, you know, the young ones. Yeah, I have young ones. They're 26. They were huge Taylor Swift fans, and they still are. But that doesn't affect the way they live their life as much anymore. And the ones that really, they're overwhelmingly like crazy TS fans, they're years away from voting.
Well, Bill, are you trying to tell me that her, quote, fuck the patriarch, unquote, that didn't make you want to go vote for Kamala?
No, it made me wonder why Kelce's with her.
I know. It's like, Kelce, what are you, a cuck, a pajama boy, but JJ? Obviously, if you allowed your mansion to be robbed, that's what a man would say.
Do you think they robbed each other's mansion? Do you think he robbed Mahomes and Mahomes went and robbed his as a joke?
I don't know, but maybe it was, who knows.
I mean, where's his security?
So their luxurious homes were burglarized within hours of each other the same evening as their Monday night football game against the New Orleans Saints. That's why I brought up the movie. This was planned out. Somebody scoped their homes. Look, I, as a Latino whose family comes from the other side of the tracks in Panama, I'm a little familiar with this type of mentality. So they scoped that house. They knew when they were going to be gone. They were watching the house over a period of time, maybe monitoring them on other away games to see how long they would be gone, what their time frame was. But you got to give these people some credit. They had some big balls, something Kelce doesn't have since he's seen Taylor Swift. But they had some big ones to rob the two players while they had a KC game. The first thing I looked at, Bill, was, where was this game? I had to double check. It was like, it wasn't Kansas City. It was Grants or something, wasn't it? I double checked. Sure enough, these guys had some big cojones. Guessing you could learn. So could your brother. Yeah. Own incident. So, Mahomes' home is in Belton. and it was targeted around midnight. Kelsey's mansion is in Leawood or Laywood, and that was hit in the early hours. The point is, they were out playing the game. They're probably out celebrated afterwards. So, in fact, they say that the burglaries occurred just before the Chiefs game. So the police are investigating. It's unclear what was stolen. The crimes were reported to the police. Hey, but Kelsey, you can go cry and whine and piss all over your girl Taylor Swift, who was at the game watching. Yeah. So it's unknown if Swift was at Kelsey's home during the burglary attempt. I'd say not. Yeah. Is it obvious people were not Taylor Swift fans here? Comments.
Do like a few of her songs. Can I admit that? That there are a couple good ones.
I've got to be honest. I wouldn't know Taylor Swift song from a freaking rapper song.
Well, then you don't have five girls.
That's true. I don't. I do have some dogs, and they do howl at her songs, you know.
I mean, the fact of this matter, if Taylor Swift was in the house, it would have been the biggest breaking news story a week ago, right? I mean, it's buried, and it's just not that interesting from a standpoint of they throw her in there. But if she had been in the house, can you imagine? It would have been all over the papers and the news, broadcast TV. The NFL would have been talking about it while he looked at her in the booth cheering for Kelsey, you know? It had been unbelievable. So, you know, they just threw her name in there just to spice it up a little bit. But
oh, you know, I agree. I mean, hey, they don't care. They call, to the people out there, we in the biz call that clickbait. Throw in Taylor Swift. You get out the 13-year-olds. Oh, my God. Taylor Swift's wife's house was robbed.
Did she go into the panic room? Was there a panic room? Did she hit it? Did she lock herself in? And for how long? I mean, it's like that.
Any final words, Bill, before we close it out, the show out?
Well, I'm looking forward to the next week's show myself, but I really am going to be interested to see if Flores stops talking about coaching and any kind of, you know, interviews like that. Maybe he could put his teams together and put a list together who he wants to be a head coach for, and we can just give him the job.
Maybe. You know, it's obvious this country is in a tribalistic divide. We're part of that. Why? Because we want equality. We're just tired of one side being favored over the other. Yeah. I'm a Latino. I'm both white and black, and it gets old for me, you know, because according to the Democrat plantation overseers, they want my dark side of the family to look at me with vile and evil and no respect. Whereas on the flip side, I've actually helped my family out to the tune of thousands of dollars. Why? Because I was blessed and am blessed to live in the greatest country in the world, and they don't. So when possible, and that I've helped them from everything from funerals to just buying food for them. And not that they're poor. My mom worked very hard here in the States in a factory to send money to bring my family in Panama from poverty to my aunt, who now has a master's, has been a teacher for decades. You know, so America has given us a lot. So when I see this tribalism, when I see this racism, it drives me up a wall, because we Latinos are the bastions of various cultures. You know, Bill, people don't realize it. There's Chinese Latinos. There's Jewish Latinos. There's Arab Latinos. There's white Latinos. There's black Latinos. But the one thing you will find in a Latino household, Bill, if you go overseas, you'll find we tend to be a mixture of all colors, because we all just love one another physically.
Love is in the air all the time.
Down. There's a brown kid. There's a white kid. Oh, those are my kids.
Yeah. I love it. Is there a time of year, or is it just all year long?
We just we're like rabbits. All right, people. Let's close this out. So Brian Flores wants to be head coach again. So he's aiming for a second chance. The complexities of his past may prevent that from happening until he looks in the mirror. Nick Bosa was fined for his Make America Great Again hat, while the NFL ignored multiple BLM protests. This contrast, this different treatment of political expression, raises legitimate questions regarding the NFL's hypocrisy and what should and shouldn't be allowed in terms of their league's policies. And eventually, this stuff always winds up in court if you piss the wrong guy off. They're lucky Nick Bosa doesn't care, or he could have probably got some kind of lawsuit going, maybe it would have been seen as frivolous, but he could have easily shown the double standard. And then there's the San Jose State University volleyball update, another forfeit. This is coming to a head, people, sooner than later, with the election of Trump and going back to Make America Great Again. And what do we mean for, I can't let that go, Make America Great Again. It means good economic times for every American. It means having more dollars in your pocket as Latinos, Blacks, Asians, Jews, Arabs, Hindus, everybody, every American did from 2016 to 2020 under his first presidency. And finally, the Chiefs, Mahomes, and Travis Kelce's wife, I'm sorry, Taylor Swift's wife, Travis Kelce's mansions were robbed. And that's as bizarre as it gets. That's like comedy, you know. I mean, and I'm not going to sit there and say that, hey, they're millionaires, they can afford it. It was wrong. But it's just the balls on these crooks. I mean, it's like, I mean, they're walking with their legs so far spread because their balls are so big. To sit there and rob those mansions, how they did. So.
Well, they're still going to have security now.
That is true. So before we let you go, do not forget to share, like, and subscribe to Points on the Board for more discussions on the intersectionality of sports and politics and society. And you can find this show as well as my conservative podcast, Fired Up, and the Red, White, and Rude podcast, where I analyze the intersectionality of pop culture and politics. You can find those at grumliesmedia.com, as well as our social media platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora. I am William Del Pilar for Bill Ross, and this is Points on the Board. Until next time, we bid you adieu.